welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. I am Triforce Todd, and joining me today is Wario Will.
I'm just looking at the results on these things, and scientists and evolution still explains that technically the egg first, the egg technically came first, so,
Will, I didn't know you joined Tyler in Egypt. Because you're so in denial.
The scientists will definitely argue on the other side of things. So
yeah, scientists will argue with anything. Believe me, I know them. And of course, Telly is Tyler.
That was a great interaction with Pearl and Marina too, where Marina says, "Pearl, I think that scientists would disagree with you," and Pearl just stops her and goes, "No, you violated the number one rule of Splatfest. It's official.
Yeah,
the chicken came before the egg."
Yeah. Now we're going to talk about the Splatfest later, including a certain turncoat action. Exactly.
Turncoat action. I joined the right side.
That's for later. That's for later. We're going to talk now, and we're going to talk about what have you been playing? Now, I will talk about Splatoon lightly, though not mention the Splatfest, because that was, of course, what dominated my weekend. I was very proud of myself because I got King rank. I haven't gotten King in a long time because of timing and other issues, but I was able to do that. And then over the weekend, I played, once the Splatfest was over, I played with our dear friend and fellow NEP co-host, Kromcho. We played like for hours just having fun. And, you know, I just love Splatoon. Okay? Like, I just love Splatoon. Splatoon's like this really great game, and it makes me happy that they're going to be in Smash Brothers and all that. Mm-hmm. It was really, really fun. And then let's see, I honestly didn't play too much outside of Heroes, which the Tempest Trials is here now, so I'm gonna be playing that soon. I'll probably be diving back into my library because of certain things in my life, and you know, I won't be getting Kirby just yet. I'll probably just ask someone to get it for me, you know, because I'm me. But you know, I'm looking forward to, you know, certain things. And once the games list gets going for this year, you know, I think it'll be good. But it's always been light for me the last 2 weeks, but hopefully by next week I'll have been playing a lot more.
It's kind of funny because, like, I've been saying, like, we're kind of in that time period right now, as we said many times over in the previous podcast, that we're kind of in that quiet period of, like, games, even if you're including, like, Xbox One or PS4 games, that it's kind of quiet. I mean, yeah, we just recently had, like, for example, the Devil May Cry collection that came out on PS4, and then we had the upcoming Kirby games, but it feels like there's really, quote-unquote, nothing that's really, like, smashing us out of the water, no pun intended.
Not since January. So, not since January, where Fighters and Monster Hunter World
the
came
last.
Out.
Okay, Celeste, for you, okay. You mean, yeah.
Celeste was special, though. I wouldn't say that blew, because you didn't hear, like, sales records being broken for Celeste, but you heard about all the great reviews, and that's what caused the sales, I would honestly say. So,
yeah,
little
and
bit different.
Nintendo Direct, that's what got me looking at that game, was the Nintendo Direct, to be honest.
True enough.
And then we had the upcoming Detective Pikachu coming out, so I don't know. It feels like it definitely feels, there is that if you want to do some exploring, perhaps you can find some diamonds in the rough titles, so who knows.
But so nothing for you big this week, Will?
Let's see, on my side of things, I actually have been, as usual, playing Fire Emblem Heroes. I actually just got Jerome, and I gotta say, his voice, again, Minerva's child. I'm sorry, he just reminds me so much of, one, it's Robin, and second, reminds me of Wonder Red of Wonderful 101.
Oh, yeah, I could see that. The hairstyles they went with are really interesting.
The mask, like, the hairstyle, it's pretty much, yeah. I mean, I understand this game came before Wonderful 101, but it just reminds me so much of Wonderful 101 and Robin. It's just like, geez, how obvious is that influence?
Well, they gave him, like, pinkish hair. I guess it does kind of match Shershi. But Morgan, which, like, you would think, because the other child units have had the same hair color as their parents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Morgan has, like, black hair, or, like, bluish indigo hair, like she's Krom's daughter or son, even though, you know, that's not possible for him or for her to be Krom's daughter, which was weird. I thought they'd give her Robin's white hair, like the default every other character.
Yeah. So, I wonder who they chose as the wife for Krom.
Yeah.
Dick pic. We know it's not Cordelia.
So I've been playing Fate, and actually for me, I actually have gone back to Yakuza 0, basically filling up the completionist list, playing some Mahjong, Koi Koi, Kobicho, just basically like going back into the Yakuza world, and I don't know, just playing the Yakuza games again, like especially Yakuza 0, and grind. Well, there is a bit of grinding, again, grindings of Yakuza 0, like getting a like 1 billion yen. Fighting this big dude, yeah, finding Mr. Shakedown. Oh my god, that guy is a pain. But yeah, the brawling system of Yakuza 0, the Yakuza games, I'm just really enjoying myself. Just again beating them down, and again the numerous side activities for kart racing, again the mini games. That's one thing I really love about the Yakuza series. And for me, I'm seeing the reviews of Yakuza 6, and I don't know. There's some things that like feels like they were missing from the next from that last game of Yakuza 6. Like the more you see, like because you pretty much grew up with the Yakuza games, now things kind of change. I don't know. I'm seeing the reviews of Yakuza 6, and some people kind of feel like you lose something in that transition. So I don't know. I'm still gonna buy Yakuza 6 when it comes out in April. Yeah, in April.
Yeah,
What are you
actually,
telling me?
the Yakuza reviews are out now too, right? Or I thought I saw
Yes,
Game Informers.
Yakuza, Attack on Titan 2, Kirby. Yeah, my mini reviews are actually coming out today. Yes.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. I didn't think that game was coming out for a while. I've been playing a lot, actually. I've been playing Splatty Toon a ton, which, it's
Wait,
kind of weird.
hold on. Did you just call it Splatty
Yes, I'm calling it Splatty Toon. I heard Etka call it Splatty Toon. I love the way that sounded, so I'm gonna call it Splat. I'm gonna start calling it
Oh,
Splatty
jeez.
Toon.
Oh, boy.
So I was playing Splatty Toon, and it's funny because the Splatfest did get me back into it, but there have been a lot of Splatfests previously that didn't like suck me back into the game. And this one's topic I really thought was kind of bland, as you could tell during our debate last week, and yet it was the one that brought me back into it. The new Shifty Station was so cool.
Yes, that stage
It
I don't know
was
if
really
you that stage
clever.
was awesome.
Yeah, I
Really
love
clever.
that. There are some good stuff. I guess I'll talk about that when we hit the Splatfest more. But I beat Mario Odyssey. I have to get
Nice.
to the darker side of the moon still. So I got to get that. But I just cleared the Cascade Kingdom 100%. So I'm
Impressive.
getting there. I'm not sure if I'm going to 100% the game. I mean, I liked Mario Odyssey, but honestly, I liked it less than most people. Like, I really don't love that game. I felt like there weren't a ton of really exciting moons to get. The capture mechanic was cool, but none of the characters were as fun to control as Mario. And I mean, I loved some of the worlds, but others kind of felt dead to me. I did love Bowser's Castle. Bowser's Castle was great. That was a really cool, like, ninja take on, you're expecting just a normal fire world, but they had some cool stuff in there. And the final Bowser escaping was fun. But, like, some of these games need to get, like, harder bosses. I know Mario games never had the hardest bosses, but the final Bowser was, like, super. He was literally the same Bowser you fought the other times, just like it was in Galaxy. So I was a little disappointed by that. And the running away was easy too, but it was really, really fun. I mean, I liked Odyssey, but I really didn't love it, so I'm not sure if I'm going to 100% it. I really want to jump back into Breath of the Wild.
Save here,
So
save here. We still have to do that resolution time, though.
yeah. Well, fun fact, co-hosts, who here has played Breath of the Wild the least? Take a stab. I was checking this out because I'm weird.
Are we talking like direct hours
Hours
or?
of hours played of Breath of the Wild. Who played the least of all of us?
I'd probably be you.
No, it's you, Todd. You've played 25 hours. I've played 55 hours. Will has played like 65 hours or something of
Really?
Breath of
I'm
the
the big
Wild.
one. What am I?
Actually, I have my Switch right here. Oh, it might not be connected to the internet, so I can't check it. So I don't understand how you beat that game in 25 hours. Like, how did you not be like, I need to see everything? Like,
Because I
that
had
should
a
happen
review
to
to
me.
do, Tyler. I
Yeah,
had a
true.
review to do, Tyler.
True,
Well, it's
true.
also
And
it's
you know.
like it when Will beats whenever Will beats Xenoblade, I know his hours are going to be more than mine, just
Yeah.
because he took the time to do more grinding to explore more of the world, where I wanted to make sure that I got through the game to review it.
You know, it's
So
probably changed since too, because you were doing a second playthrough, right? So you're probably a lot higher now.
Yeah, and like that second playthrough only had like an hour in it, and I had to stop because of work and
Oh,
everything,
okay.
but you know, if I went through that second playthrough, it would be probably closer to 60. But yeah,
Yeah.
so
Oh.
looks can be deceiving, and let it be known that those 50, 60 hours you guys have did not enable you to finish the
No,
game.
they didn't. I just thought it was funny
As
because
you
I
said,
felt
it's
like.
all about the exploration. It's all about the journey.
Yeah. Our journey has been pretty long. And like you said, Dad, you had the review to do, but I was shocked because, I mean, we always make fun of me and Will for not beating that game yet, but I looked at it, I was like, wow, wait, like, I've played that way more than I think I've played it. Because I agreed, I thought I had only played it for like 20 hours, and I was like, wait, 55 hours? Like, what?
Right,
So.
and that still hasn't touched when it comes to the battle, the DLCs. I still had to go to the master trials and then
Yeah.
the battle of the champions. Oh
I only beat
my
two of the divine beasts. So I'm gonna get back into that. I have like a nice pile because I got to do Xenoblade Chronicles 2 also, and I bought
God. So
Rayman
much games.
Legends.
Yes,
Yeah,
the backlog. The backlog's real.
yeah, the backlog is real, so I gotta take care of that. And I'm gonna be getting Kirby this week,
There
so
you
I'm
go.
trying to beat that with my brothers over this weekend because we're all together. So I think that's the probably the best way to play it.
Yes, local co-op, I've heard that Kirby is definitely one of the best games to play. I mean, even with the AI controls, like AI again, the AI kind of makes it an easy game easier, but with local co-op, yeah, I think that's where you get the most fun because you actually have to talk to people.
Yeah, exactly. I just can't wait to experiment with the powers.
So, but yeah, it's gonna be interesting, and I definitely look forward to seeing what you think about Kirby next week, Tyler. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'll have you
Now,
guys posted on that.
last week was, oh, that was a week, wasn't it? We got the Nintendo Direct, and we got the reaction. And if you didn't hear what we thought about it, definitely go check out last week's episode. It was really, really good. But there's still some debate going on about what the heck is going on. Let me explain. Mainly, people are wondering, is the Octo expansion a good thing? No, I'm kidding. Everyone's wondering. It's a
It
good thing. It's a good thing. I'm kidding. Hey, easy, Biggie Smalls.
Yeah, shout out to Pearl Marina.
I had to be told about that because I didn't get the joke. But no, everyone's still wondering about whether Smash Brothers is a port or not. And if you don't recall, what rock have you been under? At the end of the Nintendo Direct, we got the shot of the Inklings from Splatoon seeing the Smash Ball, and then a silhouette being shown stating, "Hey, this is real. Smash Brothers is coming to the Switch," which we all knew it was coming, but we didn't know like in what capacity because there's been rumors about a port, there's been rumors about a full-on sequel. What's going on? So there's been a lot of news that's very conflicting because first off, the teaser trailer, which A was called a teaser trailer, made it seem like it was a new game, but Nintendo hasn't been above bringing new characters into a port, as we saw with Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, where they added certain characters who weren't previously DLC, including the Inklings. So there was that, and then we reported that Masahiro Sakurai, aka God, I mean,
Daddy Sakurai, Daddy Sakurai.
as a the creator, co-creator of Super Smash Brothers, tweeted out that although we are barely at the stage where we've only announced the title, I've been quietly working on it day after day. Please wait until we can reveal its contents or until it's the time of its release. That says to us, new game, because why would he say, I've quietly been working on it day after day, if it's not a new game? But there's still some people who believe it's a port, including some people who created this absolutely amazing SpongeBob SquarePants meme.
Oh
You seen it? Basically,
The Patrick looking down meme?
huh?
The Patrick meme?
Yeah, the Patrick meme.
That's the best meme.
Oh boy.
That's the best one.
Oh
It's the
boy.
best one. And I remember that episode, which is really, really sad. But basically, it's Patrick talking with this evil villain guy who's like a spin-off of Black Manta and everything. And these guys are talking about whether it's a port or not. It's basically, it goes, wait a minute, it says new Super Smash Brothers. Yep, it says for Switch. Yep. So it doesn't say port. So it looks like a new game. That makes sense to me. Oh, so it's a new game. It's a port. And
Was
that's
this your
basically
wallet?
exactly. So, but yeah, but like we don't know. And like it all signs are pointing to not a port, but signs are also pointing to a port, and the point is everyone's going nuts because we're like, this, we want this to be a new game. We think this is a new game, and like, people have been going so crazy that a person actually took a still image of the trailer and then recreated what he thought the silhouettes were. Like, legit. Like, and I actually wrote up an article on it for another site, and no new characters were revealed, but it's like, does this mean it's a port? Because it's all, you know, characters we know, you know, what is real and what is recall. I appreciate anyone who got that reference. But, you know, like, that's where we're at. We don't know. And so we're going to talk about it a little bit here because it's Smash Brothers and we love
right.
it.
Right. Because I'm sorry, I'm getting flashbacks of the moment of the Sony press conference. Like, remember when Sony actually quote unquote released it, Final Fantasy VII, but ports? Everyone thought it was a remake, but no, with upscaled graphics. Oh, give me that 10-year-old game with upscaled 1080p graphics. Jeez,
yeah,
who gave this guy screen time? So. But then now we have the Final Fantasy VII remake, so hopefully Nintendo doesn't does a Sony. Hopefully, oh god.
All right, so I found the thing. This guy literally took the teaser image and he like and dissected it, and based on what he saw, he believes that in the trailer was Yoshi, Pit, DK, Peach, Ness, Marth, Mario, Link, Breath of the Wild, Sheik, Pikachu, Kirby, Samus, Zelda, Bowser, Fox, Captain Falcon, and Wario.
Yeah, the Sheik one was a good call because I was like, that looks like two normal humans, and one's Marth, who's the other? And it's definitely Sheik with her arm up, like,
yeah,
blocking
well,
her face.
Crossed arms. And if this is true, and these are all who we actually see in the teaser trailer, let me just say, thank goodness, because I'm tired of you mother freaking Captain Falcon fans saying, oh, Captain Falcon's not in the game. He's going to be in the game. He's in every single Smash Brothers. Stop saying he's not going to be in there. Stop crying because you haven't seen him in the trailer. He's there.
I mean, again, mostly the staples from the first Smash game has always been in these games. So.
Exactly. And yet every single time they complain. Where's my Captain Falcon? Where's my Jigglypuff? It's like,
yeah, I remember
there.
The Jigglypuff.
Grow up.
Smash 4 had the big, will Jigglypuff be in it? Yes.
Yes. So, but then naturally after that, the question is, okay, let's just say it's not a port. Let's say it's a full-on Smash game that it's coming out in 2018, which I'm still not holding my breath for. But let's say it is. Who's in? Who's out?
Right.
And who's coming? Now, Tyler is about to publish, or has published, depending on when you're listening to this, a thing dissecting, what'd you say it was, Tyler? Like
the newcomers for Smash 4. So we're looking at Rosalina, Bowser Jr., Greninja, Robin, Lucina, Corrin, Palutena, Dark Pit, Villager, Little Mac, Wii Fit Trainer, Shulk, Duck Hunt, Mega Man, Pac-Man, Ryu, Cloud, and Bayonetta. So I've written this article at the time of this recording. I just have not published it yet, so it should be published by the time you are listening to this.
Yeah,
so
and he's,
you can
he's
see what I thought.
Yeah, he's dissecting which of those newcomers from the last game might be coming back in the next one,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Just going off the top of my head, I would say Palutena's coming back. Greninja's 50-50 because they kept Lucario.
That's what I put at 55 on my article.
Yeah,
so.
But they didn't bring back Pichu.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Pichu was a clone, but yes, yes. You know, so and there's a lot of people who want Decidueye.
Right,
right, right,
Alola,
right, right,
and
right,
if we
right.
do, then we'll have.
You read my mind. I wrote that Decidueye could be the replacement. So.
Yeah. Well, if we do, then we'll have Pikachu, Jigglypuff, who are like, you know, the mainstays, and then we'll have a Fire type and Charizard, a Water type and Greninja, and a Grass type and Decidueye,
right,
which a
right,
lot
right.
of people want. So I think that'd be cool. Corrin, I would actually be surprised if they returned, just because that they did that because of Fates, and if they're going to move on with the franchise. Although, if we're being honest, since Fates was the most sold at the time of this recording, they could keep them and then like ditch Lucina.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because Lucina was a full-on clone.
So, unfortunately, yeah.
well,
Keep
just to give you a little sneak of what I have in the article, I give Lucina a 5% chance to return as her own character, a 70% chance to return as just an alternate costume for Marth.
I can see that.
Literally, just like Olimar and
I can see
Alph.
that. So.
Corrin, I said 20% chance, because, like you said, Fates, Corrin's not as popular. And I loved his moveset in Smash 4.
Oh, he was fully original. He
Yeah,
was fully original. So.
Yeah, I want him to come back, but I don't expect him to. And Robin
Oh,
is, I
Robin,
gave
yeah.
50-50 odds because
Yeah, like.
Robin had the what perhaps the best moveset of any newcomer. He was so
Yes.
true to his series.
Oh.
And I but what about the next Fire Emblem protagonist?
That's what I was
Exactly.
about to say. That's what I was about to say because
I would
again.
say, because there was a lot of backlash that Fire Emblem had six characters and two of them were, oh, wait, one, two? Two of them were clones? One of them was clones? Who was
Well,
clones? Roy,
Lucina
yeah,
was the only
Roy and
clone.
Lucina, right. Roy and
Roy's
Lucina were
kind of
clones.
a semi. Roy's a semi-clone. He's pretty different in Smash 4.
Yeah,
Close
more
though. But
populace, yeah.
anyway, so I could see. Obviously, Ike and Marth are staying,
Oh, don't take
obviously.
out Ike. Do not take out Ike, I swear.
Oh, no, I know. No,
Yeah.
they'll find a way to keep him. But if they were to keep one of the ones they put in the Wii U 3DS version, it either would be Robin or Corrin. Because of their, you know, their involvement with the players. So, depending on when this comes out and when Fire Emblem comes out, I could see them bringing in the next protagonist, whoever that may be. Or twist, bring in the new protagonist and bring in either Lyanna or Rowan.
I don't think that they bring in Koi Tecmo. I would highly doubt that. It could, you're right. I mean, they always have strange
Anything's possible.
characters, but
Or how about oh crap, just lost their names.
Almer Selica? Oh.
No, Shirena or
Alphonse.
Alphonse. I could see. I
I'll
saw
pay. I'll
AL.
pay.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. Ooh, imagine them as a tag team unit. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Oh my
So,
gosh.
okay. Now let's keep it on Nintendo. We know the Inklings are in, and that's great. Who else should get in? Pure Nintendo, like what first party Nintendo. The first one that springs to mind is Springman. Bruh. Now I was watching and I showed Will this video. Tyler, the link is in our chat if you want to view it. Screw Attack did a great top 10 today. About who they want in Smash Brothers, and number 10 was Springman. But they had a great idea. They wanted them to go the Bowser Jr. route. So
Yes, that's yeah.
instead of like just different colors, they put in like Min Min, Ribbon Girl, Mummy, you know, and all that, man. All they really have to do is just do a like slight tweaks to their speed and strength and keep everything else the same. And then you
That
can have
would
like,
be interesting.
yeah,
Because I think of like when I think of those characters in Smash, I think of the Koopalings where they were literally the same size and they like or like Lucina and Marth where they were slightly different but then they had to take up two different spots. I wonder if they would do that and make their different costumes actually have slightly different variations in how they play. That would be amazing. And that would let Lucina return in her full form. So
Oh, I don't want Lucina to return to her full form. Give her a spot to someone actually deserving. Keep her as a skin. I don't mind that, but get her off. I am tired of these mother freaking clones in this mother freaking game.
Well, that would be what the ARMS characters are then, though. I mean, that they would basically be they would be clones with just
No,
slight variations.
I'm saying what Screw Attack was saying was they would go the Bowser Jr. route.
But with you said with different speed and stuff.
Yeah, but like that's a minuscule thing.
No, that's huge in Smash. That's huge.
Fine, then
That's the
don't
difference
do it.
between
Then
Lucina
don't
and
do it.
Marth.
Just keep them as skins. I don't care. I just
See, I like that idea. I think how much work could it be to have their skins be like slightly different things? I mean, I'm sure it's a complex programming problem that it would present, but
slightly,
I
but
mean, given that each fighter is, again, they're very unique in its own special way. So I don't
yeah.
know, like especially we're going to like Master Mummy. He's a big tanker,
Yeah, I
so
know.
I don't
Right,
know.
it would be tough for some of them, like Master Mummy and crap. Who's the yellow one?
Mechanica.
Mechanica. All I could see was Ikka in my head. But I mean, if they did like, because remember, all the arms are basically the same if you really think about it, with a few exceptions. So all they would have to do is just keep the arms more or less the same, and then just change the attributes of the character. So like, Springman would be very, you know, general, you know, well-rounded. Ninjara and Kid Cobra might be faster. Ribbon Girl and Min Min might be a little stronger, and the Master Mummy would be, you know, higher endurance and such. These stats, I feel like they could be changed. It'd be their hitboxes, I feel, would be the different part, because obviously Master Mummy and Mechanic are bigger than, Spring Man and Ribbon Girl, so that would be the
Right.
problem. But I still think that's a good. I definitely think we need an arms character because of how
Yeah.
much of a hit it was on the Switch and everything. So
They
I
could
definitely think
definitely do Spring Man and Ribbon Girl as the same character. Like that
I could
wouldn't
see
be an
that.
issue.
I could see that. And then like just have three different color versions of each of them. So
Right. Just like you did for
just
Robin
like
and
Robin and
Corrin.
Corrin. So who else? First party Nintendo, who do you feel should be in this version?
Oh boy. First party
I
Nintendo.
definitely want Dixie Kong. Like, I really want Dixie Kong. I've tweeted about this. Dixie Kong's moveset makes itself. I mean, she got the ponytail twirl for you can use that for attacking, recovering, dash attack. She can do her throw just straight out of Donkey Kong Country 2. Pick somebody up and hurl them up with her ponytail. I mean, you can mix in the bananas like Diddy does, and you have some similar moves there. Dixie Kong, one of my all-time favorite members of the DK crew, probably second to only Diddy. And like her moveset is just so easy to create. And you could give her Tiny's feather gun if you wanted to, because they're sisters. Like, there's a lot of stuff that you could do with her. And the fact that there's only two Donkey Kong representatives just feels so wrong when the whole DK crew is right there waiting to be brought in. So, I mean, a lot of people want K. Rool, and I would love that too as an extra heavy character, but Dixie Kong definitely my number one.
I'm not gonna lie, that would be interesting. We could see her go up against Bayonetta, hair today, gone tomorrow. But what about you, Will? Just pick just one. I know it's gonna be hard. One first party Nintendo character you think would be great.
I'm actually having a bit of a hard time actually picking on the first party side, but the first thing that popped in my mind is like I'm thinking Impa of Zelda because I don't know, I
Which
really
version?
love I'm kind of going with the style of like how they did it with Hyrule Warriors,
Yeah,
honestly.
that's what I
Because
picture first when I picture Impa too. I always picture her Hyrule Warriors form for some
yeah,
reason.
like I props to the Ocarina of Time version and yeah on the previous versions, but I don't know, Hyrule Warriors version of Impa, like I don't know, she's just BA as far as I'm concerned, like especially when you use a giant sword, she's a bloody samurai. And I don't know, like yes, we have many swords, just granted, but heck, she can also change into a weapon through her use her naginata instead of like the usual sword user. But yeah, I wouldn't mind having a big another giant sword user. Granted, we have Cloud, sure, we have a giant cleaver
If
and
he
all
comes
that.
back, we don't know if he's coming back.
Perhaps, but yeah, like for me, Impa, like I don't know, Impa's definitely another good representative on the Zelda franchise. But heck, if not Impa, then I had Midna. Finally, have Midna
Midna,
in
yes.
this game. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
When they did the like the voting thing, that eventually led to Bayonetta getting into the game, I spammed Midna. I said Wolf Link and Midna, put them together. You want to talk about move set writing themselves? You got Wolf Link doing half the moves, you got Midna doing the other half, and the final smash is Forbidden Shadow.
Right,
Yeah,
right.
absolutely.
Right itself. So
It does. Yeah, that's a great pick. I mean, I actually one of my biggest wishes, besides newcomers, is that the older characters get some of their moves redone. Like, I really want to see Mario get a touch up. He's had the same moveset since Melee, pretty much. I mean, they added Flood, but that's about it. Like, I really think that's one of the biggest ways they can improve the game is by mixing up the veterans' movesets. Give Ganondorf an
Yeah,
actual moveset.
Ganondorf.
Like,
Get him
same
a
thing with
freaking
Luigi.
sword!
Like,
Yes!
yeah. I mean, there's so many characters that could use a touch. I mean, Kirby again. He's got so many different powers, and yet we're always given the same moves, and it's just, it's not. It's different enough because the physics changed, but I would love to see Kirby, using ESP or wheelie, like any Kirby power that's different than the classic stone that we get and cutter and we had
Inhale.
fire and melee, yeah, and of course
Hammer and
inhale,
hammer.
yeah, and hammer, right. That was the one I was trying to think of. Yeah, I mean, just like give some of those old characters a fresh take, just give them their modern moves. Update them in some way that every character feels new.
Special, exactly.
Yeah.
Now, for me, I already talked about Wolf Link and Midna, but I'm gonna go to a franchise that Fans have been begging to get represented in Smash Brothers for a long time. I'm of course talking about Cooking Mama. All right? No,
Yes.
kidding.
Yes.
Yes. Cooking
Cook
better
with
than Mama.
Mama.
Better than
No,
Mama.
I'm talking of course about Golden Sun. All right?
Ah,
Isaac, the classic character from the classic RPG franchise who was in Smash Brothers as an assist trophy. All right? This guy is perfect for Smash Brothers, and we need Golden Sun back, okay?
Right, that could open a door for a Golden Sun
It
revival.
has been a decade,
Exactly.
yeah. It has been a decade, I believe, almost.
Exactly. And so like he has his of course his Jhin moves, which could be his final smash easily. He's got a sword, he's got his like his ESP hand. You know, he's got a lot going on. And fans have he's been one of the most requested characters in all of Smash Brothers fandom. And yes, I know Bayonetta won and Crystal won a poll during Brawl, which ironically we didn't get her. I'm not sure why, because I'm just saying, like if why do the poll if you're not gonna put her in? I'm just saying. But Isaac, you know, Golden Sun is beloved by the fan base, so put him in. He would be unique. It's not. It would not be hard at all to make him special and to not rely on the sword. So, yeah, why not?
I agree with that. That's definitely a long overdue addition. I mean, they had Duck Hunt Dog in, so there's no
Right,
reason that
still
they
mocking
can't
us.
bring back Isaac and put him in. Like, I love Duck Hunt Dog, but Isaac probably a better fit.
Dog is still mocking us. Hear him laughing. Kill the dog. Now we're gonna now as we noted, Tyler is gonna be publishing the thing about the veterans, but we will also be publishing soon a piece about characters we want to see in the game, both first party and third party, so be stay tuned for that. I was watching a video about like character reactions, and then if you got Will when you saw the Screw Attack video, how they did the same thing with the eye, you know, and all that. This teaser trailer is just blown up the internet, so it's going to be almost intolerable waiting for new news.
Oh, it already is. I'm literally on Twitter all like 4 or 5 times a day, and I type in I Smash Bros. It's always my
Ah,
most recent
come
search, waiting just to see like whoever came up with a weird theory on is it a port or not, which
Yeah,
you know, it's just I just need it. I need it.
I understand we want, I know we want news again. Smash, I need it.
I need
But hey,
it. Or
okay, we currently have.
Invader Zim. I have a mighty need.
But again, we're currently 3 months away from E3.
Too
We
long.
still have like again 90 days.
Too
So
long.
heck, we have to be patient. I know. And heck, just wait until Sakurai or yeah, Bandai Namco or Nintendo just lets out the news comes out. I mean, heck, it will come. I mean, sure, I want news as well, but again, we just got the teaser trailer. Be patient. I know it's hard, but be patient.
Oh, I can't be
Yeah.
that. I can't do that. Well, I'm not a doctor. I don't have patience.
Har har har.
I'd like to thank my 8th grade teacher, Mr. McDonald, for that one. Thank you. But no, like if we do hear anything else, we promise we will let you know whether it's good news, bad news, or something in between. So just hold on. And of course, let us know who you want to see in Smash Brothers or see return to Smash Brothers. We are always up for talking about it. Trust us. We need to talk about it. So, all right. Well, unfortunately, the one downside about a Nintendo Direct week is basically, you know, the news is very, very dry. But we still have a few pieces to talk about. So it's time to go down the warp pipe. Let's start with a thing we always love here to talk about: Fire Emblem. Yeah, Fire Emblem Heroes has just started their latest Tempest Trials called Invisible Ties, which is a reference to Awakening, which is not so ironic because of the recent banner featuring Knight Exalt, Crom, and the varying forms of Morgan. So, you know, I haven't played it yet. I haven't had the time, and I've been going through some stuff, but I will be getting to it soon. And Will's already done well, apparently. So.
I don't know. For me, I'm really jealous of people who actually gotten Dark Robin because, again, Dark Robin is Grima. He's basically a Dragon Guardian. I'm
Yep.
really jealous. I'm really. Like, heck, even I know we basically have to use Falchion against him just to take him out, but even when I had my regular Vanilla Ike going against them is like, I can't even take him out.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's just that durable. Ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Max Arth with I gave her not death blow, but the other one, darting blow. She kills him in one shot, which is great. So it's a little poetry because in the beginning he goes, "I want a masked fighter named Marth. I'm searching for her." It's like, well, here she is, double dead. Like, it's
Okay. So I better think about putting her in the team. Okay,
yeah.
gotcha.
Yeah, it's
And
okay.
yeah, and also like I'm also like involving the blessings. I actually know how to use those blessings now, like figuring out because since I have the elements, I have Gunther, I have yeah. I don't remember what was. Oh shoot, what was his name again? Who was just recently in the legendary banner? Ephraim. Yeah,
Right, frame.
Ephraim.
Yeah.
Legendary Ephraim. So he's let's see, what is he a Earth element? Oh no, Earth element
He's the
Ike.
flame element.
Yeah, flame elements. So yeah, I finally know how to use those blessings. But yeah, Fire Emblem Heroes finally using those blessings overall. It's I don't know. Feels definitely good to earn those orbs again. And what was the special seal they have available now in the war as rewards? I didn't get a look at it.
Res ploy, I think. I think it's res ploy.
Ah, Respawn. Okay.
Yeah, I'm excited to see who, makes it, well, or how far I get. I'm going to be doing my best, to get in, because or to do as much as I could, because I need the orbs. I always want the orbs. I mean, I want the Thracia 776 characters that are coming next month. So.
Oh, perhaps they're
Yeah,
going
you
to be
forgot about
with
them,
it.
didn't you? Yeah.
Yeah. And perhaps maybe they're involving the legendary battle upcoming in the end of the month, I believe. So
Yeah,
perhaps
they keep
all
changing
along
the calendar. It's really hard to follow. So I'm gonna roll with it until, they tell me what's actually going on. So we'll just
That's
see what
terrible.
happens. All right, I forgot to mention this in the last segment, but there was one piece of Smash Brothers news that I wanted to talk about. So as we were talking about, there's a lot of people who want a lot of different characters in the game. Well, there's this one company who wants a very particular character to come into Smash Brothers. I speak, of course, of Funimation, who literally created an epic challenger approaching pick with the tag, "Hey Nintendo, when's our boy Goku gonna join the fight?" Now,
This
I
could be
know
the year for Goku.
this
This
could be the
could
year
be
for
the
Goku.
game
Now,
for
here's the
Goku.
thing. Here's the thing. I already heard some people, including Screwattack's Nervous Nick, saying like, "Hey, if Goku came in, anybody could come in." Well, that's not exactly true. All right. The one rule that I've noticed about Smash Brothers games is that any and every character that's put into the game has been on a Nintendo platform at some point in time. Okay? Link, or sorry, Link. Of course, Link. Link has been there forever. But Cloud was there because of Kingdom Hearts. Three different Kingdom Hearts games that were on the Nintendo systems, all right, the DS, 3DS, and the GBA. So he has been on Nintendo platform before. Ryu, obviously, numerous Street Fighter titles. Snake was on the GameCube with the Twin Snakes and some of the
NES, yeah.
original
NES, yeah. NES,
Metal Gear
fine.
games, the Metal Gear X and all that. Bayonetta, obviously the Wii U port and slash sequel. All of those characters, Mega Man, Sonic, Pac-Man, all of them have been on Nintendo platform. Goku has been on
Yeah.
Nintendo systems in the past,
Yes, he
including,
has.
but
Yes.
not limited to, the recent port of Xenoverse 2, which has sold gangbusters in an
Right,
attempt
right.
to get Dragon Ball FighterZ, which we don't have an announcement on yet. So, despite him being technically an anime character, he is also a video game character, and if he was to come to Smash Brothers, it would fit the rule. I'm just saying.
True. Like,
Or
I still remember
should
he
it
the
be that
Dragon
maybe I'm just Super Saiyan
Ball.
Hi-yo!
Like because I'm only remembering like the Dragon Ball games back on the Game Boy Advance. I still remember during
Oh
those
yeah.
times, man.
And there's
And
been
like,
3DS titles too. There was a Fusions or something.
yeah. There's
So
those games as well. But yeah, Goku. Like a
if they
lot of
tweeted
people,
that, if they
yeah, he tweeted
tweeted
it.
that, Goku's probably not in it.
The official Funimation company tweeted out this
Yeah.
month, like, yeah, can we get Goku
Yeah.
into the Smash ever since the trailer and all that?
Yeah.
Yeah,
Like,
please. Yeah,
look
yeah,
it up,
yeah.
Tyler. It's legit. They did the whole, like, silhouetted trailer, warning Challenger approaching, the Goku silhouette and
Yeah.
everything.
No, I'm
And
sure it's all.
right.
I just think that the roster's got to be finalized at this point, right? Like, so I think it'd be too late
Well,
to add
hold
anything.
on. If you recall, the DLC characters were not all finalized. Sakurai
True, the deal.
mentioned
Yeah, that's true.
at went during the production of both Korin and Bayonetta, Korin was had to be convinced to be put into the game because he didn't want another because Sakurai originally didn't want another Fire Emblem character, and then Bayonetta, Sakurai didn't think she could work given her vastness of
He
her
was right.
moves. So that proved,
Right, he was
and again,
correct about that.
just the pull itself proved that they didn't have it all set. But I would say 95%, 95% has to be finalized by now. So anything is
Yeah.
possible. And
Right.
Goku could be. Oh my gosh, the internet would blow up. It wouldn't even, like,
I mean, we
legit blow
get.
up. Forget the
Again, we
Smash
have.
Brothers announcement. This is a Goku in Smash Brothers announcement. That the internet's gonna break.
Yes, like. Again, we're pretty much in a year of crossovers right now. I mean, just
Yeah.
talk on other gaming news. I have we just got announced that Geralt of Rivia of Witcher 3 is in Soul Calibur 6,
Yeah.
and we have Noctis Lucius Calem in Tekken 7.
Yeah.
So I don't know why
Yeah.
not another off the wall character
Why not?
in another great franchise series such as Smash Bros. I mean, Goku will be the off the wall character with no one would expect, but would so love to say
And
the
then
least.
I found out because of the ScrewAttack video that there was like a massive mod of Goku in like the Wii
Mm,
U version. It's like the
yeah.
most popular mod on that game, and I'm like, that should say something. I mean, we're just saying, Nintendo, just saying. So, but yeah, I definitely had to talk about that because that was just too funny for words. Yeah. Now, okay, how about this for a third party edition? Phoenix Wright. He
okay,
was in
thank
Marvel
you.
vs. Capcom,
Yes,
so
that he is.
he could be put into it. It'd probably be a little different because Marvel vs. Capcom is a much more flashy
Yeah,
game,
much for yeah.
with everything. So I don't know how it would work in Smash Bros. But the reason I bring that up is because Ace Attorney has an anime, and in Japan, sadly, I would watch it. I'm just saying, I would watch it.
No, I think it's currently out on Funimation. The first season's out on
It
Funimation right
is.
now. Yeah, it's
Oh,
on
my,
Funimation.
I'll have to go look that up. But anyway, they officially announced that a second season is coming, and I'm excited because on the reveal poster they put one of my favorite characters ever. Godot is coming to the anime, and I would love, and I know we'll never get it, but I would love a full-on remake of Trials and Tribulations, if for no other reason to hear Godot's voice. I would want to hear his voice. When we hear, like, objection, and all that, but I want to hear him talk full on, just like we did in Spirit of Justice and like all those characters and all. I want to hear them talk. I want to hear him talk. I want to hear him talk. I want to hear him say, "I only drink 27 cups of coffee. It's one of my rules." I want to see him wax poetic as he's dissing Phoenix and all that. Yeah, I want that. But I'm also happy that the anime's getting made because Phoenix. Ace Attorney is eternal. And also, we're supposed to be getting a game on Switch from the Ace Attorney franchise, so I'm hoping we'll be hearing more about that soon. I will wait for E3 for that though. I will be kind to Capcom, and if they don't reveal it, then I will fight them.
And I know we have other news, but I just want to
Oh,
briefly
keep
put
going,
in my
please.
third party, just to put in my sense of the third party character. And you remember of another certain title? We also discussed it last week.
Uh-oh.
A certain assassin was
Oh
shown
no.
off. Yes. And also another of our cohorts here actually made a joke of sorts on of Qual years back. And yeah, I'm talking about our favorite residential otaku assassin, Travis Touchdown. I mean,
Well, I would
I
want him
know.
in the game because he was born on the Wii.
Yes, he was born on a Wii, and I don't know. It feels like that would probably be one of the best off-the-wall characters you would never expect to come in. I mean, yeah, you're fighting all these like colorful characters like Kirby, and then we have the much more gruffer ones like Ganondorf. But How would it be crazy would be to have Travis touchdown in this game? Heck, even Sudafed1 even like wrote down on like Twitter, like, yeah, it would be nice to have Travis touchdown in Smash Bros. So, Sakurai, please, we can also put this guy in it, please. Thank you very much.
I would actually argue the opposite. Well, I would argue that it wouldn't be off the wall at all. Because A, we're talking about a character that the game was born on a Nintendo platform, which is not something that Cloud or Bayonetta or any of them could say, or many of the other third-party characters can say. And two, it's Suda51. He's nuts. So
That's saying much.
okay, and don't forget, Kojima went to Sakurai and said, "Hey, can we get Snake in the game?" So if Suda is serious and wants to have Travis in the game, I'm sure all he has to do is ask. So
Right,
I would argue that that's not off the wall. I'd say that that should be a thing, and then my April Fool's joke will be a prophecy. Stand the test of time. So.
Yeah, it's like the art is just so different that it feels like it's unlikely, but I could totally see it. I mean, Smash 4 really changed the game with Cloud and Ryu, you know, all those characters just
Well,
being
yeah,
this.
and Ryu is a perfect example. Remember, they took a version of him and, you know, kind of stylized him in Smash Bros. And don't forget a thing called the Duck Hunt Dog. He's never been 3D. He's always been pixelated. And then they brought him into the 3D world. So anything's
No,
possible.
they could definitely do it. I want Banjo Kazooie to be Banjo and Kazooie would be great. Another
Banjo.
moveset that makes itself.
Yep. Yeah.
That would be awesome. I mean, I would probably they would probably be my main.
Again, watch that
Too much fun.
Screwtech video. They mentioned Banjo.
Do they?
So,
Yeah, he's gotta
yeah.
be.
Yeah. So, all right, moving on from Smash Brothers. Let's talk about Tyler's greatest game of all time, ARMS. So, we've been wondering for a while whether the game was getting a sequel because of their abrupt cutoff during after 5.0. Apparently, the current word is no. And we say that because I keep forgetting his name. Kazuki Ibuki did an interview and with Famitsu, and he noted that Nintendo is currently dedicated to maintaining and balancing the original ARMS, and he's personally preparing for the game's release in Korea, which I didn't know it hasn't been released yet there, so there you go. And he goes, I would be happy to work on ARMS 2, quote, one day. So take that as you will.
Yeah, I'm not shocked. I mean, it definitely seems like, especially the way that they handled it overseas, just wasn't it deserved better. I mean, it got better treatment than it did here in Japan. So, yeah, like he said, like Nintendo has been constantly trying to revamp their old games and keep them appealing, which is awesome, especially for droughts like this that we're in now. So, I'm totally okay with it. I mean, it almost feels like a one-off idea because when Nintendo goes away from the Switch, you know, this game was totally made for two Joy-Cons, so it might not fit whatever their future vision is.
Yeah, I know that a lot of people were like, well, they made like Splatoon 2 in, you know, not a lot of time, and that was a difference. Like, that was hands down the biggest surprise hit on the Wii U, and they still supported that for years, you know? So, and then they knew that the Switch was coming because they had to save it. So they're like, well, let's go ahead and just make a sequel, and they did improve a lot of things, and they didn't improve a lot of things. But you know, that was a different circumstance. Here, they're in now. They're just now in the second year of their Switch run. They probably have a lot of games going, and I mean, I would expect ARMS 2 to come to the Switch, but I'm not expecting it till minimum next year.
That's I feel as well. Like, yeah, from what even when that the current tournament that's happening right now, that's happening on ARMS Border Ranks to play at Nintendo headquarters. Like, it definitely feels that this is pretty much the entire package as it is, even including the three new characters that we currently have right now. So we're going to how like. I'm glad that Nintendo is continuing supporting this, even if it's like just minor tweak, balancing changes, yada yada yada. But yeah, I mean, to think of like the possible next sequel of ARMS 2, cool, yeah, tentative title, like I would definitely would like to see it come again. I mean, again, to definitely take the Splatoon 2 route. I mean, sure, it may not be like greatly different, to say the least, but I can just build up more, like continue to build the world that we know again. Heck, as long as you're bringing Twinto and Jara back, I'm a happy camper.
So, we'll just have to wait and see, and then Tyler can talk about that being the greatest game of all time. Moving on. So, speaking of third-party games that we know are coming out tomorrow slash today, if you're when you're listening to this potentially, Kirby Star Allies will have released, and early reviews are painting it as another delightful Kirby game. Currently a 73 on Metacritic. I've seen a lot of positive reviews praising the co-op play, the level design, the difficulty, the puzzles in some places, the use of the powers and the power-ups and the combo moves and the four-player ally attacks and all that stuff. So I'm glad to hear that Kirby's doing well.
Yeah, everybody's saying that it's too easy though, and
Really?
that's been a thing with Kirby games in the
Yes.
past, and everybody always says, but yeah, it's fine, it's Kirby. So this game's probably really, really, really easy, which is concerning to me because Kirby games are always easy, but part of the fun does come from experimenting with your powers and coming up with creative ways to attack the bosses. And like, that's one thing I have heard, the bosses are good, so that might, balance it all back. But a lot of people are saying it's too easy. And actually, probably my actual number one concern is the collectible number is down. So if you played Planet Robobot or Triple Deluxe, part of the fun was hunting for the screws. The
Cogs,
cogs
yeah, the
to
cogs,
unlock bonus stages. I don't remember if it was the cogs also in Triple Deluxe. I think it was cubes in Triple Deluxe. Regardless, there are none of those in Star Allies. There's a switch hidden in one level in each zone that opens up a hidden zone, and there are like image gallery stuff. But like that never does it for me. Like I like that unlocking the bonus level by searching high and low for stuff. So that's a little bit concerning. But outside of that, IGN says it's one of the best Kirby games ever. And the only negative reviews, like reviews that gave it a bad score, their complaint is it's just way too easy. So.
I just recently also this morning I saw Game Explain's review of Kirby Star, and from what I've heard so far, like if it's like you're new a newcomer to the Kirby series, this is definitely the game that you won't mind because again, it's Kirby. Everybody's gonna like a Kirby game. But for like old school veterans like ourselves who grow up OG style, like All Star and all that, like some maybe feel like maybe a little bit like kind of like shortened down, if not cut out, because I've heard like. Game Explain said that the amount of power-ups, like once you like get all the combinations, you've pretty much seen everything. Like not as great amount of power-ups as like previous games from before, and like the joint attacks, like the four people, it's like few far between. I think there's only one four team attack that's with the Power Star, which basically throw broke projectiles and just travel anywhere and everywhere you can. That's what I've heard. So if you want. And the AI itself is like they are surprisingly competent. They know what to do. Like sure they like like when they solve puzzles it's really easy as well because like with human like if you have another person sitting next to you then yeah you have to communicate like what to do how to combine your powers and so forth. But with AIs they already know right there and there. They get the cues right there to know what to do. So that's I think that's what the main many critiques are saying like the AI makes the already easy game much more easier, which has some like hardcore Kirby fans kind of worried. But again, Kirby has always been like a very easy game. It's not nothing meant to be like stressed. It's not like Dark Souls to say the least.
Yeah.
But again, it's like again an enjoyable game if you don't mind like the smaller cuts off there is actually a quite good game. And plus, like your powers actually does have an effect on the bosses. Like for example, you fight a Wispy Woods. And you fight against fire, he will burn, literally. So that's one thing I've heard about. So yeah, the boss battles are definitely one of the main appeal for this game.
So if you get Kirby Star Allies, do let us know what you think. And then Tyler, hopefully, will be reviewing it for us here at the Outer Haven. Because you are getting it tomorrow, right?
Yes, sir.
All right. Yeah, and definitely talk about the co-op in your review when you get to it, because I want to see how responsive that is. All right, so in light of last week's Nintendo Direct and other certain things that's been happening in the gaming world, there has been an epidemic, ladies and gentlemen. An epidemic of lies, as well as some truths. We're talking, of course, about leaks. Okay, they've become a part of our way of life, whether it be, movies, television, and video games. But we're here to ask the question: have they gone too far? are they being truthful enough, or is someone just throwing stuff at a wall to make sh see if it sticks? We're going to debate this in a Nintendo discussion. Okay, I got my 27 cups of coffee. Tyler, this was your Nintendo discussion idea, so why don't you take the lead on it?
Yeah, well, the thing that really got me about was the fact that there was no Fire Emblem in the last Nintendo Direct. And that's not just, me being a fan. There's a reason why I was so confident that it was going to be in there, and that's because a lot of these leakers on YouTube, or not YouTube, well, yeah, YouTube, but Twitter is
YouTube,
where I saw it.
Twitter, the social media pages, yeah.
Anywhere you look, there was stuff saying Fire Emblem will be in this Nintendo Direct. So there were three people that I followed that I heard this from, and that was Leaky Pandy, Prince of Iris on Twitter, and Marcus Seegers. And the reason those people were credible in my mind is because they correctly said that there was going to be a Nintendo Direct on Thursday. Leaky Pandy and Marcus Seeger said it well ahead of time, and nobody had any idea. They were exactly right, and they had all these things that they were saying are definitely coming in this direct. So Mario Odyssey DLC with a Luigi's Mansion kingdom was part of the rumor. Fire Emblem Elegy of the Brave was supposed to be its name, which was a believable name. Like, that's a really good name for whoever came up with that. There was the weirdest one was Ever Oasis coming to Switch under a slightly different title, like a revamped Ever Oasis, which was like one of those "that's so weird that it has to be true" sort of things. As time proved, those rumors were wrong. So despite them being right about when the direct was, they were wrong about so many other things, and so many people got their hopes up thinking, oh, these people know what they're talking about because look, they got this huge thing dead on the nose, like they must have insider sources. Well, it turns out that those insider sources weren't totally reliable. And there's a lot of different reasons for it. But I think that the discussion I really want to have is focused on good people, even if they are in the know, continue to tell you ahead of time what's coming for your system or what the big news is. Like, if the company hasn't announced it yet or red or green lighted you running with a game announcement story, should you publish it? Because I personally think no. I feel like that it builds up your excitement and anticipation for something, and then if it's wrong, then you're just left scratching your head disappointed. Whereas, and honestly, it's really because even more so not fair to the company themselves, because I'm sure, Intelligent Systems has plenty of emails saying, when are we going to hear about Fire Emblem? When are we going to hear about Fire Emblem? And they're just not ready to show it yet. Like they're working on it. I'm sure that they're working on it, but it's really not fair to them and to the fans to get this false information out there from people who aren't, from anybody who's not really the horse's mouth. And it's so easy nowadays to just go on and make out a tweet, send it out, and maybe it catches and people start believing it. Yeah, I personally think it's gone too far, and I think it's hurting the industry. And I'm not sure what you guys think, but feel free to jump on in.
I agree that leaks go sometimes a little too far, or that they build people's hopes up, and then when they don't come true, it just destroys them. Let's just look at last year, okay? Pokemon Stars. Okay.
Yes.
Devil May Cry 5.
Right.
Okay. Soul Calibur 6, which they got right, but they said it was going to be on Switch,
I
and it
guess not.
wasn't. And then when Bandai Namco was asked about it, they go, "We were making this game 3 years ago, before the Switch was ever even really announced." And it's just like, how did someone not know that? If you're leaking that it's coming, how do you not know when it was started? That bugs me. And then for everyone they get right, like Crash Bandicoot to Switch, which was something I covered for another site, there was another one saying today at the time of recording, "Hey, the Spyro Remastered Trilogy, is gonna be announced today," and it wasn't. And then there was, you get like Pokemon Stars. There was, of course, the numerous Smash character leaks from the Wii U 3DS version that we all had. Crom, Choir Boys, Elite Beat Agents, although a lot of people saying they were going to make the game, which is a weird choice. But, you know, all these leaks, what do? They build up hype, and then when they don't come true, we're furious. And then when they do come true, it's like, oh yeah, I saw the leak about that. Like South Park. Great example. I've been seeing that leak for months. I've covered it for months. And then sure enough, when it happened, I was relieved that it was true. But I can't help but think, what would have happened if it wasn't leaked at all?
That I agree with that statement. It's like when you hear these, like again, the rumor mills, the leaks, like when you finally like first get that news, like I don't know, like especially during that Smash release, we're going to Roy and Ryu being leaked for Smash Bros.
Oh yeah, that
Like
hurt them big time.
that was like, oh man, I kind of wish I was blind going into it, but now you like see everybody like leaking information. Like, again, as I said, it takes away the steam
Yep.
that like would be away from a great genuine reaction. Like, who would have thought that Ryu would be in Smash Bros.? I mean, have Roy come back
Yeah.
into Smash Bros. That would have been great if people weren't went in blind.
Yeah,
But
like
since
what happened with Cloud and Bayonetta. We didn't know they were coming. So.
Everybody just lost their minds, but we've gone to Ryu and Roy again. The steam was taken out just because it was leaked it out, and like and th those only regard to like the true leaks. Like yeah, like including like for example the whole Mario and Rabbids when we first heard about that leak. So that's kind of that sort. Like when we hear these leaks and they come true, is as you said, like it takes away the steam, it takes away the hype. Like that kind of spoils the surprise again, the element of surprise, like. And when you hear like the fake leaks, the fake rumors, such as like we're supposed to get a Fire Emblem title in this last direct, and then we didn't get anything of that, that's just kind of like deters from it. So basically, I feel like, yeah, we're going to these like people who put in leaks, put in like rumor mills, like kind of fan the flames of hype. Like Ty, you argue that they should not be doing this, like. While I agree to some extent, I feel like it's these kind of things, like, even if it's at that point, like, it may be proven false at any time off, because, like, these things are so, like, again, it could be easily possibly false, easily, like we did with the last direct, like, and of course, it could be subject to change at any time, that kind of thing, like, you really. When you hear these leaks, you gotta take it with a big grain of salt. Even when like it was like almost like 90% confirmed leak, like with South Park, I still feel like you really have to take your time, like and really like be wary of what you hear these information, even if it's from quote unquote reliable sources.
Yeah, I mean
And
that's the thing, because you have all these sources that seem reliable. Like Laura Catedale totally called correctly that there was going to be Mario and Rabbids Kingdom Battle, but then she said that there was going to be a Spyro reveal in March, and that I guess could still happen. But there was the thing that was it said it's coming out today, and there was nothing. So it's so frustrating as somebody who wants you want to report the story. At least for, I mean, from our perspective, you know, we're not calling insiders and getting their quick scoops, but we want to report the information when it becomes available. And when you get all these fake flags from people who really, they build up a certain amount of credibility to where you can't totally tell, it feels like just saying, well, take it with a grain of salt. Like I agree, that's what you should just do. It can be really, really difficult and really unfair to both fans and developers who are now put under this ridiculous undue pressure to create something that maybe they're not creating or they're not ready to show off that they are creating. I think it's a bad cycle that really should be stamped out. I'm not sure how you go about doing that, but because you can't just, you know, ignore these people because people are always going to want to know what's coming next. It's sort of a, you know, it's just human nature. You know, when we see a leak, if I see a Smash Bros. Leak that seems credible, I'm going to be like, oh my gosh.
Yeah,
But my life would be so much better without it.
now let's go back to Rabbids really quick, because I remember seeing that Lauren Kate Dale reveal like before the January event, and then it didn't happen. And then 2 weeks before E3, we got that, you know, the actual leak of the game, and everyone hated it. That's so ironic, because it's like we all feared it, because like, oh my gosh, they're putting Mario and Rabbids together, what the heck is going on? And then E3 came around and they made the reveal real, and we're still thinking, what the heck, until we see the gameplay. And then, and only then, are people moved by how epic it looks. And that leak almost killed the now best-selling third-party game on the Switch. because
Yeah,
of what
absolutely.
they leaked. They showed like actual like design docs from the team that were meant to, be for their eyes only, and it wasn't meant to give great context of what's actually coming. But people latched on and hated it because it's Mario and Rabbids, instead of letting it be revealed in the right way at E3 with the gameplay demos at the treehouse and winning everyone over. And thank goodness it did, but imagine if it didn't, we could have blamed the leak.
Right, well, I mean, you think about it, like, Ubisoft wanted to reveal in that way. They had Miyamoto there to unveil it. Like, automatically, when Miyamoto's there, you're like, oh, this game is for real. But when you just hear it without any context, it's extremely disappointing. And that could really go for anything. I mean, and just a hypothetical game, why? But let's just take Smash Bros., and say there's a new mechanic in Smash Bros. That, your final smashes are now a meter that builds up, like Cloud's Limit. People go, oh, that stinks, that stinks, that stinks, until they see, oh, wait, maybe every character's meter charges at a different level. It might not, you might not like that idea. I'm not saying it's a great idea. Point is, it could sound horrible and then turn out to be, but you're already turned off because it's not revealed to you the way the company wants to show you. Like, I feel like that it takes away from really, it undercuts their entire strategy with how they position the game. And really, it's unfair to the consumer who wants to see the actual picture of it.
Like I playing as devil's advocate here. Like when Pete plays devil's advocate here. Like when I've like when you see people posting the leaks or from their credible sources, like one, I'm pretty sure they're doing it for the good of like again, just again for the purpose of informing the consumer, just to know what they're gonna get. I mean, that's probably one of the first motivations. I mean, secondly, it's like. Again, once you hear these details, and I feel I can't speak for them, but like for like when they post these things, again they hear it like from their credible sources. Like again, it's still 50-50 chances. Of course, naturally, like if Fire Emblem, like they hear that Fire Emblem is gonna be coming onto the Switch in this direct, then okay, like I feel like that may be possible to put in to this, like at least inform the people, like. Yeah, there are people that want to go into this thing blind, sure. And then there'd be some like most probably be the fans, the hardcore fans or that sort. Yeah, they want to know, like they want to be surprised. They want to be surprised. But like for the people who aren't interested in like Fire Emblem or so, like, and then they find a leak, like okay, let's okay. So apparently Fire Emblem is gonna be coming up in this direct or in this next coming presentation. All right, let's see what they got. Let's see what they got. I guess like it also gives that sense of information informing like the consumer of like what they're gonna get, especially if they're not a fan to begin with. So I guess that's probably like one of the main reasons why like these people on Twitter and the media pages post these leaks and quote unquote credible sources as their confirmation source. So I don't know. I guess it's like yeah, to damn if you are a hardcore fan and they dash your hopes, but good for like the common base consumer, the common consumer that doesn't know about these like niche titles or hardcores. So I don't know. It definitely is feels a 50-50 flip.
I just I'll give you an example of one that wasn't a leak, but was shown in a way that made me excited when it really happened. It was Super Smash Bros. Brawl. Okay, it was right after the I think it was the year of or the year after the Snake reveal. It was at E3 where the game hadn't come out yet, and it was watching G4, rest in peace. And they had like gaming news from the floor. It was confirmed, possible, and rumor. And on the rumor section said Sonic is coming to Super Smash Brothers. And I'm like, wouldn't that be cool? This wasn't a leak, wasn't anything. It was just a rumor that was on the floor that Sonic was coming to Smash Brothers. And then, like, let's see, it was in June. So 5 months later, sure enough, on October 10th, 2007, Sonic was revealed, and I lost my mind. Just because I remembered G4 revealing that rumor, and that was all it was. It was a rumor, and it was awesome, and I liked the idea of Sonic being in Smash Bros. And sure enough, we got it. Now, in contrast, if for some reason like they leaked that Sonic was in Smash Bros., I would've been like, "Oh, that's cool." But then when they did the full-on announcement, I'm like, "Well, yeah, we knew about that 5 months ago." I would've
Right,
had the same
right, right,
feeling.
yeah,
So.
yeah. I think that's a great point because there's a difference between saying this is rumored and saying I have a credible source that says this is going to happen. Like, I don't have any problem with people saying the rumor is that this game, you know, it's being worked on. I don't love it, but at that point, you know, like, okay, take this with a grain of salt. It's just a rumor. It's not guaranteed. But when you say, you know, credible source that totally nailed the exact date of the direct and nobody else did, you know, we know that this is coming, and then they're wrong. It's like, how am I supposed to know that? How am I supposed to not get my hopes up only to have them be dashed? It's frustrating. And I definitely agree, Will. I mean, ultimately, they do have some benefit to where it can be exciting to hear big news before, big news early, and if the company unveils it correctly, it can still be super exciting. It's not always a disaster, especially if it's right. But when it's wrong, and especially if you don't take ownership of it, like, I think that was something that rubbed me the wrong way with these three people that I had mentioned. Every one of them was like, well, you know, our sources were wrong, but we're not going to stop sending you this stuff. Like, we're going to continue to report on what we hear. Your sources are wrong. Your methodology is wrong. You're going to continue to spew wrong information, and you're going to continue to mislead people. Like, when does that stop? Like, it feels so wrong. It just feels unfair. I've said it 100 times.
News,
it feels unfair.
Fake news everywhere. Yeah.
Cake is a lie.
Yeah.
Cake is a lie. Why isn't Crom in Smash Brothers? But wait, Crom is in Smash Brothers. It doesn't count! I demand to control Crom!
Crom will be in Smash 4.5.
Because again, they teased it in that Lucina and Captain Falcon review trailer and Robin. So, like, I'll have my chance another day. I think there's maybe that day coming soon. So, hopefully.
Give him his chance!
No. With that, we're gonna end this Nintendo discussion, but do let us know what you think of leaks. In fact, Tyler,
yes.
What was the result of our last poll question?
The question was, what grade would you give the Nintendo Direct? And most people actually gave it an A. 55% of the audience gave it an A it's loading right now. Actually, wrong. 44% gave it an A, 33% gave it a B, and 22% gave it a C.
So, yeah. So our newest poll question will be, do you think leaks actually help the game industry? Yes? No? Depends on the game. And then, bonus question, okay, what came first, the chicken or the egg? Oh, wait! We already know the answer!
That's right.
Splatfest, which we forgot to talk about in the new section, I apologize. The Splatfest happened last weekend, and chicken won.
Boom.
And there was only one person on this podcast who defended the chicken last week. And do you guys remember who that was?
Well, I remember that I didn't really pick a side. That I was.
You
kinda...
picked a side! You
yes,
Mr.
McCain!
Then you went turncoat because they had a better ink color.
Yeah, listen, I think it's
it was really, really
obvious
funny.
Reasons.
It's really, really funny. Also, I had to go chicken because, you know, Pearl was on Team Chicken, so I was kind of suckered into that angle of it. I just didn't care who won. Now, the egg came first, like, scientifically, but Splatfest law would say that, you know, chicken came first, so I'm fine with that. However, listen, I represented Team Chicken, like, with my full heart. Like, in the beginning, I started out I was 1-7 starting out. I kept losing, and then I think I won, like, 11 games in a row. We just started wiping them. The dually squelchers are so good. I love the dually squelchers.
Ah, please go basic. Go with good old Splash Shot Junior. That thing has always been with me the whole entire time. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I actually posted on my Twitter account. I had a power level of 21 at my highest 2100.
How do you use the splat? I remember you killing it with the splatter shot Junior. Like, I thought that was like the weakest weapon. Like,
oh no. No. That weapon carried me through the first game of Splatoon 1 on the Wii U, and this thing continued to carry me through. It's because of that natural shield. I mean, sure, it's not the barrier like it did in the first game, but this game, I mean, it's still a shield. It basically is a support cast. Like, you can still splatter ink, no problem. Again, it's a great support role, and heck, if you are aggressive, be aggressive, be aggressive, and just go into their face, it actually is quite a deadly weapon. I mean, sure, it's not like a full splatter shot or a splatter shot pro.
I love splatter shot pro.
It does the job well. No wonder, again, like, never forget your humble beginnings. Sic pavus magna.
What do you use, Todd?
Oh, I always use the dualies.
Nice, okay.
I use the one that gives me the jetpack.
Nice, nice.
I always like that
you
one. So
people like your new gadgets of toolies. You don't appreciate the classics.
I used the Splattershot Pro all the way up until this Splatfest, and I decided, you know what, I'm going to change it. Actually, you know what, I think I used the Pro during this Splatfest. I might have to double check. I recorded a ton of videos and put them on NEP Twitter. So I do love both the Splattershot Pro and the Dually Squelchers, but I hate the sniper rifles. They feel overpowered, first of all, and second of all, I have no interest in using them, so they just annoy me.
Well, frankly, like, again, the snipers are basically, again, good for support roles, because again, they're not really meant to make a lot of good for splat zones. They're not meant to make a lot of spread a lot of ink in a fast amount of time. They're just basically meant to support to give your teammates a way out, because again, splatting ink is the best way. Just continue to make a line of flow, basically. Yeah. a line of transport. But yeah, overall, I personally like people just stick with like either rollers or the splatter shots classes have always been good for splat zones. But if you are good with snipers, then good luck, man. Good luck.
Anyway, so with that, we are going to end this episode.
Oh,
of
and just what? A reminder. I'm what? Sorry. Just a reminder as well. Just a reminder for all people, the Marina and Pearl Amiibo that's currently out right now on Amazon to pre-order. So go, please, hurry up, pre-order at your local game shop. Yay!
July 13th, please.
Yes. So yeah, get support.
Anyway, so with that, we're ending this episode of the Entertainment Podcast. Let us know again. Be sure to answer our poll question about leaks. Let us know who you want to see in the next Smash Brothers game, and what else you thought about the Nintendo news. And then stay tuned, because next week is our 75th episode, and we're going to have a little bit of fun with it. So look forward to that. So for Tellius Tyler and Wario Will, I am Triforce Todd. And ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. We are not out of lives. We have made it to the end of the level, so raise the flag.